Gagne and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
They have a one timeout left.
This is like the light box. You could have gotten numbers, but just didn't.
You better hurry.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is disaster in the making here. You're going to have to do something when it comes down to this play. Incomplete, and the game is over. Completely botched at the end by the Bears.
Yeah, that didn't go well. Thanksgiving Day.
That was a horrible day.
With everybody sitting at home, you know, food's not quite ready. We're all watching the same game.
It looked like they were going to get boat raced in that game.
And they came back.
And
they had the audacity to come back.
Like, I was watching that game, and I'm like, well, I can worry about food now. And then they get the opportunity to get back in that game. Caleb gets them back in that game.
You think it's Caleb magic.
Yeah, and Caleb was doing the magic stuff. The things were like, oh, there's the special. And then the one person that needs to understand, be aware of timeouts that they had.
That they had.
And the clock. And that's why he is unemployed as a head coach. He does have a job.
I didn't see an issue with any of that.
Okay. Robbie talking about his Detroit Lions holding off
the Bears. How'd it work out for y'all, Robbie?
On Thanksgiving Day. And now Ben Johnson is the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
That is the best part about that whole situation, though.
Is that it got Ben Johnson?
Yes. If they win that game, there is a chance you don't have Ben Johnson.
I think Matt Eberflus is still getting fired.
Probably, but
probably end of season firing. Or maybe not. Maybe just
I saw them talk themselves into keeping Flus before after a couple late wins that didn't matter.
And that's why we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly with the Bears and Ryan Poles, the general manager who just got extended through 2029, his contract now ending at the same time as the head coach, Matt Eberflus. And we talked about the good and the bad earlier with Russell Dorsey, who's in for Layla today. But let's continue the conversation with the ugly. Now, some of the stuff you said was bad, I say is ugly.
Okay.
Okay, and tell me what you think is ugly. What is ugly in your eyes, Russell Dorsey, when you look at Ryan Poles' tenure as general manager?
Things that they were unnecessary. And yes, there might be some overlap where it's like, oh, this is bad, but like glaring. Where it's just like things that make you say, woof, this happened.
What's got you saying woof?
Shane Waldron as the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears.
You know what made that bad? It made it bad that Shane Waldron got hired as offensive coordinator because they walked us through their process of hiring and how involved Ryan Poles was in the hiring process, and that's what they came up with. And they were proud of their hire. But that's also another reason why Matt Eberflus should have not returned as the head coach, because we had people telling us that he was not the guy. And what I mean by that is that you heard clips leading up to from guys like, I don't know, Jackson Smith and Jigba on Shane Waldron. This is back Super Bowl Radio Row in 2024.
Bears fans are super interested about the offensive coordinator coming in, Shane Waldron. What can you tell them about who they just hired to try to get this offense where it needs to go?
This is live?
Yeah. We're not live.
I'm playing. good luck to y'all. I mean, he's a great person, great offensive coordinator. I was very lucky to have him my first year. Learned a lot from him. I think him and Justin will mesh well, and you know, adding more guys around him, I think it would be great. So we'll see.
Do you have any advice that you give to Justin in that situation, considering that you know the coach that's coming in?
Oh yeah, I mean he's gonna love Justin. So really, just Justin, be yourself and go make plays for real. That's it.
Fair enough.
Did that sound like a man who was convinced?
A couple of things with that Jackson Smith and Jigba sound. JSN had his best season of his career so far after Shane Waldron left Seattle. That's number one. Number two, shout out to Adam Hogue and Carm for asking about what then was new Bears OC Shane Waldron. When somebody asks you a question like that and you say, hey man, he's a good dude, That tells you everything you need to know about what Jackson Smith and Jigba thought of Shane Waldron as a coordinator. That offseason, they interviewed Cliff Kingsbury, Clint Kubiak, Liam Cohen, now a head coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Greg Roman, Zach Robinson. They interviewed like actual dudes, and they said, nah, that dude.
I mean, that dude was on a successful coaching staff for a time in Seattle. When you talk about the revitalization of Geno Smith, like that's what was sold to us.
They weren't like if you looked at the numbers, they were never like
dominant.
No. At no point were they dominant. And Cliff had the benefit of being Caleb's OC in college.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, none of it made sense. So that's why that falls under ugly for me. The other two, I can just pair them together. We had Robert Mays on earlier in the 11 o'clock hour, and he talked about the Chase Claypool trade and then short tenure. That was a ugly situation because at the time you're like, okay, they did need to get Justin weapons because they didn't have any. And you thought big body receiver, 4.4 speed, can go up and get it. But then you're like, it ended ugly in Pittsburgh. And then he got to Chicago and there were some injuries in there and then issues. Some of the behavior.
Yes.
And then you're like, this went bad really fast. And like, to their credit, they cut bait. And it was a sunk cost, and they said, please leave. But the fact that they gave up real draft assets to get Chase Claypool, and then it ended so bad, not great. And then I think the handling of the Roquan Smith situation falls under ugly for me.
Yeah,
because it didn't need to happen that way.
What we don't need to do is trail off with the Roquan Smith, like at the end, like, oh yeah, and also Roquan Smith. No, Roquan Smith is a big part of the reason why I'm like, Ryan Poles, I have questions for you.
All pro inside linebacker. Like, you
multi-time all pro.
That Roquan Smith is a top two or three inside linebacker in all of the NFL, because I think Fred Warner is insanely good. That would probably be the only guy I'd say is better.
That man played on a broken foot last year.
There you go. So that's why that deserves number one status, but Roquan's right there. And so for me, how that situation came about, and it worked out for Roquan because they made him the highest paid at the time linebacker in NFL history. It just was so ugly and drawn out and just went bad. And it felt like a situation that didn't have to get there.
Problem with going back to the Chase Claypool, you would have sworn Ryan Poles traded for a fresh, brand new switchblade, but it ended up being a plastic knife, the kind that breaks when you try to cut stuff with it. You know, you ever get a plastic knife, it's like, and just snaps off. That's what Chase Claypool was. And that's not good at all. Second round pick. That's real capital.
Yeah.
I've seen Ryan Poles draft someone with a second round pick, and that person actually is good at football. I haven't seen that in third round much. But
yeah, Valus was a third round.
He was. So was Kieran Amagaji. Jury's still out on that. You get what I'm saying?
I hear you. I'm with you.
And so, yes, ugly. But you know what? Forget about that. Think about this. Kevin Warren said, you my man, 100 grand. Not 50, 100 grand. Listen to his assessment of Ryan Poles. This is from January 7th of this year.
Yeah, I think the assessment, we've made it clear. I trust him. And he is a hard worker. He's young. He's talented. He's curious. I think his greatest attribute, he's willing, as he did just in the press conference, to raise his hand and say, here's some things where he fell short. He's as hard on himself more than anyone could be hard on him. And he strives every single day to do the right thing. And I think one of the things in life I encourage Ryan and others is to be self-reflective, you know, which has been good. And I think that's one of the things that I've noticed throughout the season. I've noticed from the first day that we met and even up to this morning, you know, when we got together 6 o'clock this morning here early, is that he's reflecting on what he can do to continually be the leader that I know he is. And he will continually grow to be a great leader. And he's passionate about it. He cares. All those things really go into it. He's not here just all for all the accoutrements of being a general manager in the league. He wants to win. He loves this franchise. He's passionate about the Chicago Bears, and he's going to do everything he can.
I just never heard anything in that assessment from Kevin Warren that said, okay, but why is he still here? Tell me how it makes sense based on you just believing that he's going to get better. Like, there was no evidence that he was going to get better.
Very glowing remarks on January 7th from Kevin Warren. Maybe different if those remarks were on January 6th. It might have been a little bit more negative from Kevin Warren there. I want to get to the text line. Texter said Claypool was more of a spork. I think that's hilarious. Correct.
I mean, listen, 708 hits the nail on the head. I just don't understand why coaches and GMs need to have extra years in their contracts. A guy like Pohl should be on a prove-it year. It's not like he's going to tear an ACL and suddenly he can't make trades. So why the need for contract cushion? Look, that was my initial reaction. It's like, oh, if he had 2 years left, why not just wait till this year goes by to make the decision? But they did a little bit of a peacocking job here. Yeah. Like, we're the Bears. We've got our team in place. Yes, they're aligned this time. And we've got our franchise quarterback. Let go.
I understand, and we talked about this with Robert, I understand the alignment part, and they have screwed that up for a long time here in Chicago.
So now they're beating their chest like, we got it done.
But you know what I always say when earlier in the season when everybody's like, oh, extend PCA, and I'm like, you don't have to. That's where I am with Kevin Warren. The Bears, like, you didn't have to.
Wait,
do
you don't
this.
Have to do what?
They didn't have to extend Ryan Poles. You know when I always say, like, oh, they didn't have to extend PCA.
It's different, though. Here's the difference. The PCA thing is very specific because I'm like, the price is only going to go up.
Sure, fair.
With Ryan Poles, show me evidence the price is going up.
My thing was just always, like, you're not forced to, like, he's not going anywhere if you don't do it right now.
Right.
So okay. That was my thing with Ryan Poles. It's like, yeah, if you wanted to, let's say the Bears have great success this year, because you already had the extra year that people didn't know about.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's what I was focused on.
If next year or going after this year, if you want to say, all right, we're going to line these brothers up so that they're in lockstep, then you could do it then. But yeah, it seemed unnecessary.
There are way too many people as we continue this conversation about Ryan Poles getting the extension through 2029. There were way too many people on social media on Friday when this first broke and we were talking about it on the Score Transition. It was myself. Who else was here? It was Luke and Ellis. Who else was with us? Justin Richards, right? Yeah, Justin Richards, and it was Layla. And the four of us were just like, okay, but what did you do to, from a merit-based standpoint?
Yeah. Like the All-Star game.
To earn this.
Where's the merit?
Are you Jacob Mizorowski? No, Jacob Mizorowski has done more, I would argue, as a baseball player, a pitcher, than Ryan Poles has done, because the good is balanced out with the bad and the ugly, as we just pointed out. And that takes him at a less than net neutral.
See, that's why I said earlier, they're putting a lot of blame on Matt Eberflus as if he was 100% of the problems.
But also, if he's 100% of the problems, who selected Matt Eberflus as the head coach and who retained him as the head coach? It was Ryan Poles. That's part of your job as a general manager. That's all I'm saying. I understand if you want to give him a fresh start, which you clearly do. I get it. I'm just saying, let's not toot our horns before we've done anything on the field.
I might need a refresher. When they hired Ryan Poles to then hire Matt Eberflus, Kevin Warren had not been hired yet.
Right.
Correct? It was still old regime.
Yes.
And so my thing is, maybe this is Kevin Warren saying, yo, I'm going to line you up with Ben Johnson because this is your guy. When maybe the last time, maybe Matt Eberflus wasn't 100% Ryan Pace's guy. And I'm not trying to give him an out here.
That's his job. Right. That's his job.
I get you. But, like, we know that old regime, they would put their finger on the scale for the personnel that they wanted.
Oh, no. Kevin Warren has his foot on the scale now.
Yep. It's me.
Yeah. It's me. Not to be confused with your thing that you always say on the show. Russell Dorsey, I'm Marshall Harris. We're going to come back and listen to some audio. It's an age-old discussion that has been had by many people. But I want to point out that this GOAT conversation that we always end up going back to at some point in a conversation with our friends, our family, whatever, it's not just you and me having this conversation. Everybody has the same conversation. Wait until you hear how one celebrity took it to another level. That's when we come back with more Raheem and Harris, Russell Dorsey, and for Layla here on 670 The Score.